spend a lot of every day looking at least I hope all the council members are reading all of this email that we are getting. I had several more just this morning laying out very well thought out numbers about why they believe this is a mistake. And then we have others saying why they believe it's a very good thing. So the reason why it's so hard to make a decision is when you have friends on both sides of this equation that says this is something they'd really like to have happen. Of course, my vote will always represent my district because if I'm not going to be their voice, who would be? But one of the things we found out with reviewing the paperwork, you know, when they gave us this paperwork, it was right time to be preparing the holiday meal for Thanksgiving, and then our first meeting was like right after Thanksgiving before we really had time to study these mountains and mountains of paperwork. But over this past weekend, I'm going through all the small print and looking at everything, and I'm going, whoa, what is this in the small print? Oh, it says they did not include in this debt, oh, the expenses of the furniture or the fixtures or the equipment or soft costs, whatever dollar amount that would be, and the renovation of the current building. So I'm sending out emails. Hey, what is this? Are you comfortable with these numbers? How much you think this is going to be? Why we haven't discussed any of this? I'm told that, well, a rough estimate just for the current building is $4 million to redo. Now, I know we've done a lot of pretty things in there in the recent past, but that doesn't cover the heating and the air conditioning and the wiring and all of the things that will have to happen in order for all of this to come together. So I don't think we've even been presented with a total business plan. How many people would go to the bank and say, by the way, I just want you to hand me over a few million dollars every year for the next 20, 25 years, and I'll let you know later what it's going to actually cost to do it and what it's actually going to cost to operate it. So, $4 million may not sound like a lot to a lot of people, but where do they plan for that to come from? Well, I'm told, well, maybe it'll come from the innkeeper's tax.
What innkeeper's tax? Wait.
Whoa. I thought we already had that money allocated for other things.
Well, right. It's like, so I want someone to tell me exactly where they plan all of these dollars to come from.
They now, have all along wanted both of these taxes to be raised.
You're right. Now, when I was presenting, well, maybe if we could raise the innkeeper's tax up to from 5% to 8%, which would have been, you know, $1 to $3, depending on what hotel you stayed at, it was like, oh, no, we can't do that because the city would have to kick in out of their redevelopment money, and I heard you speaking about that earlier today, Margaret. That's, of course, what I've been saying, is that's what it's supposed to be, to grow jobs. So if they want to grow jobs downtown Bloomington, use that redevelopment money plus all the money, extra money that's going to be going into something called in the community revitalization economic development pot of money. There's all these different pots of money, but the city doesn't want any skin in the game. No, they just want us to go to the people and collect the new tax, and they were.
Well, they've got too many new positions they have to pay for and a few other things that they've got on their plate.
Well, but beyond that, let's just say okay, if the city doesn't want to participate, then we could raise the innkeeper's tax up to 10%, which Representative Ellison said he would work with us at the state level to try to get that up there, and we've seen proof that he can get things done at the state level, haven't we? So I think that has some people scared. But here we go. The innkeepers have said through their email they won't support this kind of increase. Well, now, if they don't believe in this project enough that is supposed to be there to help them, if they don't believe it will help them enough, that the visitors would be happy to pay an extra $3 to $5 on a hotel room night for a convention, then if they don't believe in this enough, why would we? I just think there's just not enough people who want to be responsible for it. They just want to go to the people of this county and collect it, and then we'll take that chance. And that's just not the way we can run this ball game. I mean, this is not like as if we have some kind of money-making machine in the back room.
Oh, we do. It's called the people. And that's what
right.
they think.
I knew you were going to say that. but honestly, when the fiscal body of the county determines that we could move forward with something when we don't have all of our I's dotted and our T's crossed, and whether or not we have a business plan and know the numbers, then we're not doing our job, in my opinion. But we'll find out how that'll work out. I know that there was a memo that went out to the council members discussing whether how we could use the innkeeper's tax if that went through. And for some reason, they're not reading the legislation, as certainly I do, and many, many others have in the past. For some reason, there's a thought, well, if you're going to use this for anything, it's all got to have a nexus to conventions or trade shows. Well, absolutely not. In my opinion, because the way it reads, it says, for the purposes of promotion and encouragement in the county of, then it gives this list of different things it could promote or encourage. One is conventions, one is trade shows, one is visitors, one is special events. And then for the financing of that to be used for those purposes. So that's the other one that it could do. Or it could do all of those. But it does not say that in order to support a special event, it has to be tied to a convention. So that went out to the council members, and they're probably going to look at it and go, oh, okay, well, I better not vote for that because we can't do what we want to do for our visitors or special events. Well, I guess we'll have to use the food and beverage tax because the innkeeper's tax wouldn't let us. Well, that's, I think we need to get some very special legal opinion on that because it's being read, in my opinion, very incorrectly. And remember, I was on board when this innkeeper's tax was increased many decades ago to have our convention center now, and the attorneys involved at that time, I can remember sitting at the table saying, no, this money can be used for special events, and we had Morris Enright come to the meeting and say he needed money for the fall festival, and oh, they had to then, because of the pressure, take a look at this and say, oh, I guess we can do this. So I think there needs to be just an open mind about how we can do this project if they want to do it. But more to the point, we shouldn't even be moving forward with any, whether it be food and beverage or innkeeper's tax, until we have a better sense of how these dollars are going to flow. When I see that something that's going to be more than $4 million is not covered, and we haven't discussed it on the financial plan, then something is way wrong.
Are you going to discuss that tonight at 5:30 at the Nat U Hill room at the Monroe County Courthouse?
Absolutely. Now, it's my hope that the room will be set up so that people will have a place to be able to come together with us and get their voices heard. Perhaps they'll need to have extra chairs out in the hallway. I'm sure that those people who want this to just happen, everybody shut up and go home.
Well, I thought you'd have this at the convention center. There's more room for everybody and plenty of parking.
And right. It's a county asset.
right. Well, I'm hoping that we'll show respect to the people that we're asking to pay for this by giving them opportunity to speak, that they won't take up the entire time, that they will be there by more presentations. We did that last time, and I thought we were going to have all these financial presentations, and after the time we got around to the financial presentation, it was hurry, hurry through. No,
well, that's my question for you, because you just told me about all the things that you hope you'll talk about tonight and all these fine print details. Is there going to be any time for public comment?
Well, see, I don't know how all of this is going to work. But
okay.
I'm concerned, because last time people were standing out in the hallway, and they ended up after, you know, how many hours, ended up leaving because, you know, these folks come to speak, think they're going to be able to speak, and 2 hours into it, they still have not been able to have their voices heard. And so the thought was, oh, well, they'll get to do that at the next meeting. Well, now, here we have this new information. Well, people need to hear about it. So I am disappointed. I would like very much to see our convention center have the opportunity to do what is necessary so that they can thrive and that our visitors and tourism can grow, but certainly not at the expense of moving forward with the project without understanding the dollars and with the expense going to local taxpayers. That's just, in my opinion, it's not going to be a good thing. And right here in the middle of students' final exams, the students want to come and speak to this because they feel like the mayor really sort of threw them under the bus, and they want their voices heard. And so some of them might try to be there. And I was at a gathering the other evening where it's not just the Republican students, it's the Democrat students joining in with them saying,
wow.
Yes. So that is something, of course, I don't have the students in my district, but hopefully the council members who have students in their district are going to be listening to them. They do vote here, and many of them do. Some of them vote back home. But their voices also need to be heard. So regardless of where you sit on this issue, and I understand why every city employee had better be standing up saying they want it because they are ordered to do so. This is a lot of money coming into city coffers.
Marty Hawk is our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in every Wednesday. We're talking about the food and beverage tax. The big front page of the Herald Times today has a box in the bottom left-hand corner that says food and beverage tax up for vote today. Is that accurate?
Well, I mean, I believe it could be up for a vote, but does that mean that it actually will be voted on?
That's what I don't know. That's why I'm confused.
Right. It may very well be that someone will come forward and say, one of the council members, and say, oh, we don't have all the information we need to make a decision, or we're still waiting on hearing more from the public and give them more of an opportunity once they look at different numbers, and then ask for, to table this. Then, of course, if they do that, then what does Representative Ellington do? Because I can't speak for him, but I certainly do not think he's going to want to support an increase in the innkeeper's tax and the food and beverage tax. But what we have to also look at is that the numbers presented, and people are saying, well, the innkeeper's tax is not enough to cover all this. And I'm going, well, what's the difference between $2.5 million over here and $2.5 million over here? If it's $2.5 million in both places, $2.5 to $3 million, why isn't it the same revenue? Well, then our financial person brought forward news about what is expected to be in the increase in an innkeeper's tax, and he suddenly reduced it. Why? Our information before said for each percentage point it would be $500,000 to $550,000, which leads you to $2.5 million or to 2.75, which is exactly what I've been saying all the way along, which our numbers say that should be right. Well, no, he used a lower amount. Now, why did he use a lower amount when he did not reduce the food and beverage estimate? It just seems like this has all been decided well in advance what it is we should do. We should just do it, shut up, and go home. And I know a lot of people would like for me to do that. And, you know, next year's an election year, and maybe they'll figure out a way to get me to shut up and go home.
Well, the people that have voted for the people in office are making these decisions. So that's kind of what they've spoken once before. And then the people that are there on the council, both city and county and everybody else that's locally elected, these are the decisions they have asked them to make. And we'll see. 5:30 tonight is the special session. You had a meeting last night. What did you talk about at that meeting if you had so much to do tonight?
Last night was, oh, my goodness, you're going to have to watch it on Cats TV. I mean, the
pay-per-view,
room,
huh?
The room was filled. This whole thing about this trash transfer facility, see, all of this is coming down at once. The trash transfer facility, the drug addiction facility they want to put in. All those neighbors are contacting me, and they're all upset. The people that were this trash transfer has been trying to slip under the rug here and get it done while nobody was paying attention.
It's been a busy 2017, hasn't it?
I'm telling you, it has been another year like you wouldn't believe, but last night they handed the council member a bill for $7,360 and said that's what that person's expenditure had been so far fighting this, and they didn't want to pay for it all. I mean, they lined up and they spoke from the heart because this is affecting their property, and they just believe that there's been a lot of under-the-table operations going here, and they are furious. And they have the energy on their side, and there are those who have gone to Indianapolis, and they've hired Ice Miller, who, if you know how...
Yeah, they're heavy hitters.
Yeah, they're a heavy hitter, and they didn't mess around. They just went straight to Ice Miller and said... And so they've down here, and the Board of Zoning Appeals will be taking a look at this to see if how these decisions were made, whether or not there has to be...
Now, is the Board of Zoning Appeals, is it full, or are there availabilities on that board or vacancies on that board?
Oh, right, because Kevin Roblings, who was involved in all of this, and has stepped down for the Planning Commission, and many of us think that was appropriate, and also from the Board of Zoning Appeals. So now they have to wait for new appointments to the Board of Zoning Appeals, and this is not the transfer... facility is going to be addressed not in January but in February, the last I heard. So we'll see who the appointments are going to be. I think they'd like to see permanent appointments on there, not just temporary ones, before theirs would be heard. Now that's, I'm just sort of reading between the lines. But you know what? The people of this county deserve to have elected officials who have the people's best interests at heart. They deserve that. And it is time they get that.
And Marty, I got to ask you one more question here as we're running out of time. I saw a press release yesterday. There's a press conference today, 9:30 this morning. Members of the Monroe County Board of Commissioners and Mayor John Hamilton will share details relating to a lawsuit against opioid manufacturers and distributors to be filed by the Monroe County and City of Bloomington. How does that work out? Who pays for all that stuff? Is that already figured into budgets and everything else?
Well, I received an email from Judy Sharp, or County, I think it was from Judy Sharp.
Who's she suing? She's still suing CV. Aren't they still battling in court over that stuff, too? I mean, I can't keep this track.
There's always a battle of some sort going on, but what I saw was something from, let's see, either from our sheriff or Judy Sharp, and it had to do with they're trying to combine all of these lawsuits together.
So you can get a discount.
Well, rather than to have all of these different lawsuits going on everywhere, that we would have put our efforts together. And so that was something that came out after I saw the announcement in the paper about moving forward with a lawsuit. So I hopefully we will join in with others and not try to all of us be paying
legal
fees.
That's right. We'll learn more this morning. 9:30 a.m. is that Nat Yu Hill
room. Right. In the meantime, my baby dog seems to want
sounds
to get
like
involved.
It. All right. We'll see you tonight, 5:30. Good tickets are still available. Come early.
My gosh.
5:30 special session tonight. The county courthouse.
Take your vitamins.
Take your vitamins. Say your prayers. Get a nap in. Whatever
maybe
it takes.
Maybe take a camp chair with you.
That's right. All right, Marty. Good job as always. We appreciate
your
time.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.